Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Benching. My name is Natalie.
And I'm what? Christy, her mom.
We are going to be covering the Queen Charlotte of Bridgerton's story, episode 6, Crown Jewels.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
Yes, we are. And we, obviously, there will be cursing because there's cursing. But yeah, so we've got, that is one of our caveats. So if you don't like cursing, don't listen to this. If you don't like people being weird, don't listen to this. And there might be...
Definitely don't listen to this if you don't like people being weird.
Yeah, because we're all about weird. in any case, so we are also having things to drink. What are you having to drink?
I'm having sweet tea I got from the store today.
Good for you. I am having a cocktail called a Sparkling Diadem. I actually thought about there in this book, this Regency cocktail book, there is something called the Crown Jewels, but it calls for absinthe. And I'm kind of like, I don't currently have absinthe, number one. Number two, I'm not a huge fan of absinthe. So there are a couple in here that call for absinthe, particularly in relation to Queen Charlotte. And I might, you know, if we ever get around to, and I'm sorry, it was actually about family jewels, so I'm not as off as I could be. So anyway, I'm having a sparkling diadem, and the sparkling diadem has 1.5 ounces of cognac, 3/4 of an ounce pear liqueur, lemon, 3/4 of an ounce of lemon, and ice cold champagne on top. And honestly, I had never had pear liqueur before. I went out and got some because there are drinks in the physical book that also call for like pear brandy or whatever. Those kinds of things, they look kind of cool. And what I was able to find was a pear honey liqueur, and it's actually quite tasty. So this is actually quite the tasty cocktail, and I'm really rather pleased with it. We are going to have our present and past divisions with this as well, right?
Let's start with the present. No time like the present.
Okay, yeah. And how about we
do the present minus the last scene?
Right, because the last scene, I think,
is divorced from the present timeline in a way.
Right.
Anyway, so in the present, it's spring now. And it's still cold, but it's spring.
It's endless.
And Violet tells Agatha that she is thinking of starting anew. And she talks about Edmund and how they were kids together. And I was like, well, they haven't shown it, have they? If they had introduced Violet so that we could see her meeting Edmund and that being a little meet cute kind of thing, or just like a little tag at the end of, hey, this is why Violet's even in this story.
Story, yeah.
Great. Because it could be a nod to the novella that they have. And it's right. Just like, but no happiness, no nothing. Fuck that. And then Violet notices that Lady Danbury has the hat on display, the birthday hat on display.
And yeah, it's on the mantle. It's kind of tucked behind stuff, but Violet's like, wait a minute, I've seen this before. Yeah.
And then back in Charlotte land, the family still doesn't have an heir. And they are... very sitcom. I don't really care. They're all sitting for a portrait. It's funny. Like they're all seated for a portrait, and then as soon as like Charlotte breaks, they're all like, oh, I can't move. And then they end up like just leaving the portrait. And Brimsley's like, do you not see the queen there? Are you questioning that the queen's there sitting for that portrait? And the painter's like, oh, I can totally see her and the family. Yes, I can totally finish this painting without anyone sitting for it. That's how paintings work. And then the son and daughter, I think it's it's one of the people who got married recently, not the one who went to her about the issues of like, oh, I'm scared, mom. It's the other one who got married. They go to Charlotte and are like, hey, I'm skipping ahead. Sorry. The son and daughter are representatives for the family and are telling Charlotte that they're sick of all of the race for a baby bullshit and that she's showing no compassion for the crown. They say that she has been their queen, but not their mother. And Charlotte's you have no idea what I've given up for y'all.
Well, right. And some of the substance comes from, I guess, the oldest daughter, but it also comes from Prince Regent. Like, you've not been... the kind of mother we think you ought to be kind of thing. And it's like, just stop it. You know, you
get over yourself.
Exactly.
Live your life, dude.
You had one job.
You had one job and you couldn't do it. They died, dude. Anyway, sorry. My sorrows, prayers. So Charlotte is upset about what was said by her kids, and then Charlotte asks, and Brinsley's like trying to be like, yeah, well, you've been so caught up with like the stuff with your husband and all that stuff mm-hmm. that you haven't really been paying attention to them. Mm-hmm. And Charlotte's like, hey, did you ever get married? And then Brinsley's like, no, when would I have the time?
And who would marry me? And I've got all my time like devoted to you, kind of thing.
Which is true. Like, when would he find the time? But also, it kind of makes you think, oh, well, obviously they could officially get married. Like, him and Reynolds couldn't officially get married, but maybe they're still dating in secret and, like, kind of
bound to each other. Yeah, maybe there's something going on, right?
Maybe. Anyway, then Violet goes and asks Lady Danbury about who's the person who bloomed her garden, because Lady Danbury mentioned my garden wasn't bloomed until after my husband died.
Yeah, exactly. She said that and it seemed like in passing, but the reality is that
maybe it is something to do with you. Anyway, but then she's like, well, did I tell you anything about the fact that I dated or was courted by the queen's brother?
Yeah, let's
redirect this conversation so I don't have to feel awkward about my past with your father. who's dead now. I assume. Anyway. And then Violet is inviting Agatha to tea because she wants to confront her about the whole thing. And then Brimsley, oh, that's later.
I'm sorry. Well, I'll wait. Go ahead.
Violet puts her hats on display. She did make them for her children. I'm surprised she didn't mention it before. And then, yeah, that's where we're going to stop for now, because there are other things. Okay, well, I guess we could mention Brimsley dancing alone, so it kind of makes you think Reynolds is dead. And first of all, in the book, there is no if I'm remembering correctly, there is no mention of Reynolds is dead. No, as far as I know, in the book, and again, there aren't these like flips to past and present bullshit stuff, so I don't feel as discombobulated as I do when I'm watching this episode sometimes. But in the only thing they have is the present thing is the very last chapter, and it just reflects the present storyline at that very last scene,
mm-hmm.
which is the best one
yes.
from the present storyline, and the only reason why the present storyline should have existed. But
agree.
But there is no mention of what happens to Reynolds. What I assumed was that Brimsley and Reynolds just can't be together because they're looking after their own people in separate houses, but they can't also, like, they can't go and visit each other all the time because now there are more responsibilities in each place, and they just can't. I think that's a more tragic ending than, hey, Reynolds might be just dead. It's just like, what? Yeah. Or they could have just, like, I don't know, showed them dancing together and just, like, not had it be weird, or maybe show a grown-up Reynolds at Q dancing by himself or something and make it cute.
Yeah, the ambiguity about what happened to Reynolds is weird.
It's so sad too. Why did you have to make it like it's a really big bury your gaze thing? Like, why did you like just kill him? Like, couldn't they just like be in separate houses and just be sad that they can't be together all the time?
Yeah, but no.
They already can't get married. Let them be happy somehow and somewhere. Some other way. Like, I just, I don't
know. Well, like, I mean, I guess there's an argument that Brimsley is like happy in his mind, whatever. I don't know.
I don't know. It's upsetting.
It's sad. Anyway, so Brimsley is dancing by himself. And the son and daughter-in-law show up, and the daughter-in-law's pregnant. And that's wonderful.
Yes. And so we'll get to the last scene later. All right, so let's go back to the past. So Charlotte visits
or back to the future.
But we're going back to the past. Anyway, Charlotte visits George in the observatory.
I have a DeLorean.
go to 80 miles per hour, bitch. Anyway, I don't know why I said called you bitch. I'm sorry. Again, I'm in a weird mood. This sweet tea is doing
It's
something.
okay. You're not
Anyway.
the first and won't be the last, so it's
True.
a thing.
Charlotte visits George in the observatory, eating a good meal after he's gotten a bath. Like, oh, not a nice bath, but like a nice
Yeah, like
hot
a
bath so that
warm bath, yeah.
warm bath that will make him, and he's already like looking a little bit better. George tries to push her away and be like, I don't want you. I want you to go away. Please stop being over here, because he doesn't want to hurt her. And now that the treatment's kind of over, he doesn't want her to, I don't know, get her hopes up about the fact that maybe this will just work out. Like
Well,
it,
I
he
think he had invested so much of himself in trying to make the treatment work that, while he is physically grateful, he is mentally like, I shouldn't be, I shouldn't be, I shouldn't be, right?
Yeah. And
So
she asks if he loves her, and she like keeps pushing him and pushing him, and then she's like, well, I love you. And then he eventually like is pushed enough to like yell, I love you. And first of all, I would like to say I was sobbing
I
when I
was too.
watched
I
this scene.
cried and cried.
Like when I was, yeah,
this episode makes me just cry.
when I first watched this scene, I was tearing up a bit, but this time, I don't know what was different. Like the vibes were different. And I was just like bawling my eyes out. And he was like, my heart calls your name. And then he kisses her, and it's very, very, very sweet. And I'm just like, oh God, they have got such
Right. I
good
mean,
chemistry, and they did so well.
it is really amazingly well done. And of course, as good as Charlotte is, and she really is an amazing actress, I really feel like
George
some,
really sells it for me.
yeah, he does. He sells it for me too. He's so good. It's like, oh my God, this
And you
guy
can
is
see the
amazing.
hesitation in his eyes of like, wait,
Yeah.
I don't want you to go, but you need to go. And then whenever he
Right.
like yells at her and he's like, I don't want you here, you could see in his eyes that's not true. And she's just like,
Right.
yeah, no, I'm not leaving. So you can
Yeah.
go fuck yourself. I'm
Yeah.
staying right here.
Well, and then of course they fall into
They
bed
do
right there
fuck.
in the observatory because there's a bed there.
Yeah, because he stays in there all the time, and they're like cuddled up like on the little cot in there, and he like is looking at her belly and is just like, hello little king. And I was like, hello Paul.
And you really have to wonder how much of Nicholas Holt's Peter in The Great is part of the performance here, but God, he sells it. It is so cute. It's so
Pull.
cute. I know, Paul.
I started bursting out laughing. I was like crying for like a while, and then it switches to that scene, and then he's like, hello little king, and I'm like, hello Paul. It's so good. It's just
Okay, as an aside, if you've not watched The Great, you really, really should.
good.
I
At
was
least the
hesitant to
first
watch
two
it.
seasons are really, really worth watching. And I think the third season's fine. There are
It,
some
right.
decisions in there that make me sad, but
Yeah, I agree. But I feel like there are a lot of really good, extremely funny things in the
huzzah!
first,
Huzzah!
in the first two seasons of The Great that are well worth watching. And again, much like this show, as long as you suspend the idea that like this is accurate history, you will be fine.
You'll be fine. But I think that honestly, Nicholas Holt was the best part of the crate. So I'm just
Oh, for
like,
sure. God, he's awesome.
especially that second season when his like ch his dynamic changes completely and he's just like,
Yeah.
hello. It's just, it's so
Hello.
freaking funny. It's so
He
good. Hello,
is
Paul.
hilarious. I mean, I've kind of
Anyway.
wanted to go back and do like a filmography on him, but I haven't done it yet. So anyway.
Well, I
Yeah.
think he was in Warm Bodies or something. I have not
Right. He was
seen that
also in
movie.
something called About a Boy a long, long time ago that has Hugh Grant in it, where
Oh,
he's a
you did tell
child
me about
actor. And I still haven't seen that.
Anyway,
Anyway.
Nicholas Holt is not in this, but his essence is in a way. Anyway,
Yeah.
Coral isn't an idiot, and she's happy that Agatha's happy, and she's just like, well, enjoy your blanket, your cloak as a blanket on this walk or whatever. And then Violet joins the ramble, which makes things very awkward for everybody. And so Lady Danbury's like, okay, well, I also wrote down, I can't unsee the Lily's eyes problem. Where, oh my God,
Yeah.
her eyes are so clearly brown, but
Yeah.
obviously the amazing actress who plays her in the actual Bridgerton timeline, her eyes are so clearly blue. It's
Yeah.
so hard
Well,
to
and should
unsee
be,
now.
right? So it's like, I get very frustrated, and you know, facially they're very different too. So it's go.
Well, I can forgive a facially thing, but like when it's the eye color, when it's so clearly different, and I'm just like, all right, well, you didn't even try there, did you?
No, and they did such a good job with so many other things. It's kind of like, really?
Anyway, then the Dowager Princess is basically lying about how there's a new doctor who's taking care of the king now to her, like, lords. And then she has this wonderful line of, I do not remember names. I'm female. And then one of the guys says, oh, I'm sorry. He says it so genuinely of, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I think it wasn't Lord Bute. It was the other guy who's, like, her attendant or something.
Yeah.
It's just so freaking funny. I wish they did female. More of that with the queen of like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm female, I don't know these things. And then they're just like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Sorrows, prayers.
Exactly.
It's just so fucking funny.
It is. It's hilarious.
I burst out laughing at that moment. I was just, like, as soon as I heard it, I was like, wait, I forgot that line.
That is
so
awesome.
Good.
That is okay. Awesome.
And then Lord Bute will tell Parliament that George is available for an address now. Great. Nothing will go wrong.
Yeah.
And then
he's doing really well as far as preparing, but he's getting super anxious. And when he
No, that's later. That's later. George receives a letter from the Dowager Princess and tears it up. And then he's just so cute with Charlotte, their little whole honeymoon phase that was supposed to be their honeymoon but wasn't. He's just like, my wife is beautiful, mwah, love you, all right, oh, my wife is so beautiful, I'm gonna go farm, it's gonna be great. And everything's all right. And then Charlotte thinks that he will stay better, but Reynolds requests caution about the down days, because there will always be down days. It's not like there's a one all like a big like
silver cure bullet.
Like a pill or something that will just make this better. It's not like a one-shot treatment kind of thing of, oh, he's just gonna be better forever. Sadly, that's not how mental illnesses are all the time, or usually they're not. So Reynolds and Brimsley also share a bath and talk about serving together for a lifetime. It's so fucking cute.
It is really cute. It is really cute. And they're very sweet together.
They're so cute. And then they finally get to kiss. Like they've kissed like maybe twice. They have a little bit of hand holding. Their first makeout scene, obviously, to introduce the fact that they're gay. And then I don't know why I keep saying it like that. I don't know why. I say it like a frat boy. It's weird. I don't like it. Anyway, they have
I'm
this
starting
cute
to worry
little...
about you. I really am. I'm the one who's having a beverage here.
I am having sweet tea.
I know.
I don't have alcohol. It's fine. Anyway, there's this, and they have like the sweet, cute, intimate kiss of just like a sweet little moment. And it's just so fucking cute. Anyway. Agatha discusses the inheritance stuff with the Dowager Princess, and the Dowager Princess is like, hey, give me some info and I might be able to give you an answer, but otherwise it's the king's decision. And she's like, no, I'm going to make my friendship work.
Well, so part of what happens too is Lady Danbury, I don't know if it's this scene or later, if it's later.
It's later. I know you're talking about it's later.
I want to talk about
a lot of
things. You're talking
things.
A lot. You're talking a lot.
I'm sorry. You'll get to talk about it. I'll let you know when it comes and then you can talk about it.
Thanks.
I just wrote my notes down in chronological order with past and present clearly stated. You can't see it on the screen. Anyway, Coral talks about the rumors that George is ill, and the Dowager Princess visits Q, and Charlotte doesn't let her see George. And then Dowager Princess says Charlotte is allowing him to hide and he must face Parliament or else they're going to lose their like trust legitimacy. And confidence in him,
right?
It's messy.
Again, you know, this because we have watched so many of these British monarchy based shows like The Crown and the constitutional monarchy, the constitutional part of it, the Houses of Parliament are generated by, you know, this tension with the Crown, and the Crown gives them their authority and their imprimatur, I guess, basically. And so if George cannot engage with the Houses of Parliament and, you know, do the basic things like opening Parliament, whatever, you know, the ceremonial things that you expect of a monarch, then they're going to act like he's incompetent and he could be overthrown.
Yeah, it's messy. And so she basically goes to George and is like, hey, listen, we need to go back to Buckingham House to make a show at Parliament to show that we are strong enough to still have you as king. And then they go back to Buckingham House. Agatha visits and they talk about stuff. And
But not everything.
interestingly, not everything, but Charlotte is like, hey, is there anything I can do about this whole like transition from you ha being married and him dying and all that stuff? Is there anything I can do? And you know that Agatha needs the approval of at least the king to
Right.
get this whole thing squared away about the lineage stuff, and she doesn't
The
ask for help.
succession. Yeah, she doesn't ask for help from her. She keeps going to the Dowager Princess, which is annoying as fuck to me.
And especially since they've been like, oh, yeah, we're going to make sure that you were best friends and all that. You can tell me all this stuff. And then she just doesn't. And I'm like, all right, well, what the hell, bitch? Like, what are you expecting to happen? Miracle? Like, go to your friend who is the queen. She can talk to the king who got you her your place in court in the first place of like,
Right.
oh, I convinced him to go to your ball because you told me about what you wanted. That wouldn't have happened otherwise. You wouldn't have had a great success otherwise. What do you think is going to happen? It will just materialize? Like, no, that's not
No,
gonna
and
happen.
it really is it's annoying. But in any case, while Agatha is there, Adolphus is kind of like, hey, baby.
You're hot. I'm hot. Let's do this.
Let's be hot together. Literally. And he starts to want to court her, and she's like, that this could be the answer to all my prayers, all that
I
stuff.
won't even need to be here because he has his own title that will just go to my children immediately. It'll be fine. That's not an issue. I'll just marry him.
Right.
And
And
then, yeah.
it saves all her money or whatever, all the stuff. So she's thinking that's gonna be great. And what happens, and again, I guess I'm not fine.
George is nervous. Do you want to talk about
Very.
George being nervous for the speech?
Right. So George has been preparing for the speech and he gets a little OCD about it. Like he doesn't even want to talk to Charlotte. He's wanting to like rewrite and rewrite and rewrite. It's like it's got to be perfect. And he's asking for her advice. And he's nervous about giving the speech. And Charlotte sees him and she's like, oh, don't you just need a distraction? And he's like, no, this needs to be perfect. And they're hugging and they're kissing, and next thing you know, her water breaks. Oh.
Yeah.
And the baby is coming. And they segue into the birth of the Prince Regent. And so George has Queen Charlotte's, he's running around trying to make sure the doctor gets there. He's told to wait outside. There are all of these lords and the Archbishop of Canterbury and all these other people physically blocking him from going in to see her, and he can hear her screaming. And so Lady Danbury comes out because she's inside with Queen Charlotte. He's like, she's like, hey, George, she's asking for you. And he's like, I'm going in there, and the Archbishop of Canterbury steps in the, I love this. The Archbishop
Me
of
too.
Canterbury steps in the way, and he's like, do you like being the Archbishop of Canterbury? Because I don't know why you think it would be okay for you to block the head of the Church of England from going into his wife. And you're just not gonna be Archbishop anymore. And he steps out of the way. And so George goes in there and he is so helpful. I mean, first of all, he's very sweet. But second, he actually has some experience with birthing animals in his Farmer George role. And so it turns out the baby's
Farmer
breech. She's ble
George.
yeah, so the baby's breech. She's bleeding. And everyone's talking about, oh, it's too much. Even Brimsley, like, ah, it's too much. And the
He's
doctor's kind
turned
of like, dude.
around in the room, but he's just like, you need to do something.
Yeah, right. But the doctor is doing that Lord Doctor thing that happened with Sybil, where it's like, no,
Oh,
she's fine.
Jesus.
It's like,
He'll be okay.
fucking stop it. And George is like, I'm the king. I'm saying no. I've seen this done. And the doctor's like, well, yeah, but you can't do that on a monarch. And he's like, I'm the monarch. Fuck you. This is happening. And so he gets Charlotte up. The baby's born. He's gorgeous. And George holds him. And he's adorable. And it's so nice.
Yeah, and then we go back to Adolphus courting Agatha, but she sees Ledger and Violet in the park. What are we gonna do? I don't fucking care.
It's
Anyway,
stupid. Like, it has no effect on
he's a
anything.
hot guy who likes you and has money, position, everything you could possibly need in a husband. Go fuck yourself. Just It's like the prince all over again. It's like you have this great option, and you don't even have a Simon to like compare him to. So it's Ledger or the fucking like prince of this province in Germany, and you're thinking, oh, maybe I like Lord Ledger better, the married guy with a child, and I can't be with him properly. So we had sex once, and that was enough. And I'm just like, what is wrong with you? I can't.
That's wholly her reason. I think what it
I don't think
is,
it is, but still.
but yeah, so she's hesitant about Adolphus. He is younger than she is, but he brings her flowers and he's courting her and he's telling her about how great his little province is and how awesome it is, and she needs to come live there.
The actual decision is made at the ball.
Right, I know, but
Yeah,
he's
that's what he's
courting
doing,
her.
courting her. Yeah. Then Agatha asks the Dowager Princess again, hey, can you get this done for me? And then the Dowager Princess is like, hey, do you have information for me? This is not a one-way deal. Absolutely not. And
Right,
then
and this
Agatha
is
just
what's
starts to
interesting.
cry.
Yeah, she starts to cry, which is, somewhat out of character, but it's also interesting the way the Dowager Princess responds, because she's like, I don't like you, but I respect the hell out of you as an adversary. And this cry, there is no crying in courtship, okay? I had to fight my father-in-law after my husband died to keep
She
him
said she
from
had bruises. I'm just like, oh, I
Right,
just can't
she,
imagine
yeah,
what was
he beat
happening.
her, he beat George. And she's like, I had to overcome this to make sure that my child could succeed the throne. And you know what? You just are gonna have to suck up your bruises and move on. You are able to do this. I respect you. You're able to, stand up for yourself and your child.
Have
Do
some
it.
pear brandy.
Yeah, have some pear brandy, which I'm actually having in my drink. You see how that works.
I got that, Ma. Thanks.
Very
And
simple.
then she likes having an adversary. And so whenever she's just like, well, let's talk about your son's position here, Mr. Danbury or whatever. And she's like, you mean Lord Danbury? And then they're like, all right, smirking at each other, like, yeah, no, you get it. And then George prepares for the speech, but is super, super nervous. He doesn't even make it out of the carriage, even though Charlotte
Right,
is like, you got this, girl. I mean, guy. I mean, king.
you have this, George. You're gonna be fine. And she doesn't go with him, but he goes. He and like you said, he ends up he's shaking, and then he's like, crouching down in the carriage. He won't get out.
It's so
They
sad.
come back, and it's bad. And she's like, and he's so upset that he couldn't do it. He's like, I can't be
Well,
king.
no, even before that, whenever they're like going over to go look for him in the room when she's being brought over, she's talking to Reynolds and it's just like, but he was fine before he left. And then
No, he's
Reynolds
like,
stops and it's
no.
like, he wasn't fine. You just didn't understand the signs because you thought everything was going to be perfect now. No,
What
he's
you
still
saw
suffering.
was hope. What you saw was hope. And it was you projecting on him, basically, but he was not fine. And so she goes in, and he's so upset. And she's
He's
like,
hiding
look.
under the bed.
Right. And he's like, the heavens can't find me here. And so she gets under the bed with him.
Well, I would just like to say really quickly, I made no notes during this like entire conversation until the very end of like, oh, we'll bring Parliament to here, because I was just watching the performances and like tearing up a little bit.
Right.
And it
No,
made
yeah,
me wonder why
yes.
they didn't include these. There are a couple things here and there that like little sayings like you and me, and then him saying you and me back and all that stuff,
Right.
and them hiding under the bed away from the heavens and all that stuff. I think they should have introduced that earlier. I think that would have been it would have been nice to see it like come back and all that stuff, her knowing where he is, that kind of thing. But
Right.
I
So,
mean it, I like it in this part, but yeah, go ahead.
right. And again, I think it's fine. I would have, it would have been nicer to have as more of a theme, but I think it's fine. So he cries, George does. He's like, I couldn't even read the speech. I couldn't get out of the carriage. And he talks about this is who I am. And he's like, it would be okay if you want to leave. I'd let you. I can't be a husband. I can only be half of, and what she says is, no. You are George. You're just George. You're
And
Farmer
we,
George.
if it is half, we'll make it the best half it can be.
Right. And I love you, and together we are whole. And they kiss, and it's so sweet. I boohoo cried. It was sad. Because I love that devotion. And afterwards they're looking up at the bottom of the bed, and it's like, there's a lot of dust under here.
And she's like, yeah, there is.
Right. And he's like, but I lied to you, and I understand I lied to you. And she's like, no, you didn't. You are just George. You are all you need to be. And we'll bring Parliament to the crown. And mm-hmm. so they invite everyone to a ball.
Adolphus asks Lady Danbury to marry him and move to Germany. He's like, I don't need an answer right now. They kiss, and he can wait for an answer. Then the lords go to the Dowager Princess about the ball, and they question if she has control over this situation, and she clearly doesn't. And what? She didn't even know there was going to be a fucking ball.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I do. And then they're like, do you though? And then letters on silver plates, my favorite. I pointed this out to my roommate whenever we were watching the first season. I was just like, when it's delivered to Violet, the little invitation for tea. And I was just like, it's my favorite thing. A plate, a silver, beautiful plate, and one single letter on it. Like, what was the point of having the plate? You could just hand it to somebody. It's just,
it's delivered on a silver platter. That is the way life should be, right?
It's just funny. And then a little bit of sex for good measure, and between George and Charlotte.
Hey, I love
I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. And then Reynolds and Brimsley fight about the decorations. It's so fucking funny.
It's because
Brimsley's standing there, and Reynolds is like, oh, what is up with those flowers? And he's just like, well, the queen chose those flowers, and this is her ball. And he's just like, well, it's representing all of the royal family. And then Brims is like, I'm walking away from you now. And then he's just like, and what about this food? And then he has like, hey, you, come here. And then it's funny.
Yeah,
it's so funny. He's like, he's so controlling and OCD. It's just so funny. And then George is nervous, but Charlotte calms him. They say the you and me thing. It's really cute.
I want to back up a little bit. So like, there's a point where Lady Danbury says that she doesn't want to marry again. I mean, she realized
that's after.
Okay, but George is looking at the wedding portrait, and he's upset because
I wasn't even sit for this.
I was just painted in, and that's part of. And George looks at her, and he's like, she's just a rare jewel. She's so beautiful because she looks amazing in her dress. And she does. Oh my God. And his hand starts to shake, and she holds it, and she's going to hold them together. I mean, because then
Reynolds is about to intervene, but then Brimsley's like, hey, no, she's got this. She's got this.
Right. And she's like, this is you and me. It's you and me. We're going to get through this.
They're dance. I would like to point out the dancing before they even start dancing, like the ones that you see like party guests doing, is so much more sprightly than a waltz. Like they're putting in work. They're like ballet. It's just like up and down, and it's
old kind of Baroque. There's a lot of leaping lords,
a lot of leaping.
Lots of leaping.
And also, stop calling your daughter brains.
Lord Ledger
calls her brains and like beauty sometimes, and I'm just like, what the hell is wrong with you? And Violet's acting like an idiot, and he's just like, hey, brains, this is what's going on. I'm like, I hate you.
Well, I'm gonna say this: I have friends who actually think that if you call your child beautiful, that it is somehow offensive. You know, especially a female child, because it's demeaning, because it makes them just a surface thing. I'm like.
Huh? Well, no, I'm just talking about like calling her brains is kind of weird. And then the dance is adorable with Charlotte and George. It's so beautiful. So and he kisses her in front of everybody. It's so sweet.
What she tells him is, you keep your eyes on me. There's no one but us here. And he does. And they're just amazing. George's performance.
In his eyes. It's so good.
George's performance. This actor is fucking amazing. He's so good, and you can see in his smile that he's very genuinely happy. Mm-hmm. And he kisses her, and he gives a lovely speech about this is all in honor of our new child, George. And
George the Fourth.
George the Fourth, and he's so happy.
Then Agatha refuses Adolphus's proposal and is like, I don't want to get married again, even though I led you on. Sorry.
Well, right. So here, Here's what I think prompts that. When Coral is getting Lady Danbury ready for the ball, there's a discussion about moving to Germany and what it'd be like and brushing up on your German and being a citizen of another country. And I think that factors in for her. There's also a discussion with Adolphus where he's like, well, I want you to have like our kids of
Three
our
more
own.
kids.
And she's like, oh, fuck, no.
Not
No,
more
I mean,
children.
I have four kids. I'm not just a baby making machine. And I don't want to be that. And I think there's also, and what she says out loud is that I am concerned about how I'm representing this whole great experiment. I want to make sure that I secure the future, not just for me and my kids, but for all of these children. And so she feels an obligation to stay and fight it out, basically.
Yeah. Then the Dowager Princess sees that Charlotte makes him happy and
Yeah.
thanks her for that. And she's like, "You're gonna be okay." And then she walks away. And then I would like to point out in the book, and also like in the background of this scene, is a string quartet version of "I Will Always Love You" by Dolly Parton, which
Yeah.
nice, good choice.
Well, it's also there's a cover by Whitney Houston,
I
so
know
just
it's the more popular version, but I wanted to give Dolly her flowers.
because she wrote the damn
She
song,
wrote
I
the damn
agree.
song. She performed it first.
Yes.
Nothing against Whitney Houston. She has an amazing version of the song, but still, it's by Dolly Parton. Anyway, and I want to say in the book, there's this moment where Charlotte and George are like trying to sneak off somewhere. There's that moment where like he puts his arms around her from behind, and it's just like, hey, this is going really well. And then they are like trying to wander off somewhere to find somewhere like more private to just hang out and talk or something more. I forget. And they go around the corner and they see Brimsley and Reynolds dancing. And they're just so happy for them. And they're like, "Did you know?" And he's just like, "I kind of thought, but I didn't know, but good for them." We
Oh,
love gay
that's
positivity.
sweet.
And again, in the book, Reynolds is like a dear friend of George's. And so it's even sweeter in that moment. It's just so nice. You don't get any of this BS of like going to the president Brimsley dancing alone. You get to see them be happy for them. And
Right.
it's so cute the way they're dancing.
That's
It's
sweet.
adorable. I love it
Well,
so
yeah,
much.
it is very cute. You do get to see Brimsley and Reynolds dance together behind the hedges.
But they're doing the same thing, but they're kind of like laughing about it.
Yeah,
The
it's
height
very,
difference
very
is
sweet.
so funny to me. It's just so cute.
Yeah, no, and it's very, very cute. But we do also get to see
Charlotte confronting Agatha
right at the
about
end.
breaking
So,
up with Adolphus.
right. So Charlotte confronts Agatha and she's like, look, it's okay for you to reject my brother. He's going to get over it. He's handsome. He's like got his own province. He's going to get other girls. It's all right. But you didn't come to me with your issues and your concerns about your children. And that's not okay. You're acting like we're not competent. We're not capable of handling it. We're one crown. You come to me, you talk to me, I will fix it. But you're acting this way is not acceptable. And so what she says is you talked about my castle walls being too high. She's like, they aren't high enough. We need for them high as the sky to protect everyone in this kingdom. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to protect everybody. You need to come to me with whatever issues you have so that I can protect you. So she and I respect the hell of that. I think it's really well done. And then George,
Comes up and he's trying to he's like teasing Reynolds about not being able to drink on duty and all that
drink.
stuff. Which is funny. And then Charlotte tells him that she's pregnant again, and that's really sweet. Then we really quickly when we go back to the present
There's
timeline,
kissing.
I forgot to mention, yeah, there is kissing. I forgot to mention in the present timeline when Violet kind of puts her hats on display and all that stuff, she's passive aggressively like
I hate
confronting
that.
Lady Danbury about it.
I
But well,
hate
to be fair, it's not like, hey, did you fuck my dad when I was younger? Like, no, it's kind of a weird subject to breach. But then they kind of let it go. Like
Yeah.
Agatha talks about, hey, yeah, no, I was miserable in my marriage. And so after my husband died, I just kind of sought comfort, not seeked, sought comfort in somebody else. And that just happened to be someone you're related to.
Yeah,
And
but she doesn't say it. She doesn't
she doesn't
say
say it
it
out
that.
loud.
No, she doesn't say it out loud. And part of it, like, Violet's got this array of hats. And basically what it's like, she's got this phalanx, this army of, I've got a bunch of happy memories. I recognize that you only have one, but
Put on
don't.
display.
And she's like, maybe I should put these away. She's like, and Agatha says, no. No, no, you have a right to put this on display. And you can see that there's a little bit of envy there.
Sure.
And there's a little bit of remorse. But what bothers me is fucking talk about it. You
Yeah,
know?
really. You wanted, I would want to be, I would be very curious what the fuck's going on there.
I have respected both of these women as characters in the Bridgerton series.
Because they're
And
direct.
right. They're direct, they understand stuff, they know how to work the system, but they don't seem to be able to work their own personal lives. This is fucking bullshit. I have serious issues with that, and I have serious issues with that being character traits of both of them going forward. So I really don't like the resolution of this, but that might be the worst part, maybe, to say.
Yeah. So then Charlotte go in the present timeline, Charlotte goes to visit George at Kew to tell him about the fact that they will now have an heir. And she.
I should say this. I love the fact that when her son and daughter-in-law, whose name is Victoria, say
Yeah, and they're
the
like,
past,
hey, we're going, we
it's
think it's a
William.
girl. And she's like, that's great.
It's William and Victoria, and oh, by the way, we think it's a girl, and of course we all know that down the
That's
road she's
Victoria.
Victoria.
I
And it
was
is
like, is this the young Victoria? I'm like, sorry.
It's pre-birth Victoria. It's really cute. It's really, really cute.
So then Charlotte goes over to George at Q, and she comes in and is just like, hey, George, and he's like sketching on the wall like he usually does. Really precise lines though, impressive. And then he's not really responding to her, and she's like, hey, George, Farmer George, come hide from the heavens with me under the bed. And they both go under the bed. He kind of comes back into his own mind and gains control. And she's like, hey, Edward is having a child. Our line is secured. Your line is secured. And he's like, our line. And she's like, our line. And
Oh, they're
they have
so
there's this
cute.
cute moment where they're just kind of looking at each other. They kiss for a moment, then they see each other in their younger forms. And
And they're
she
talking.
they talk, and then they end it with, I did not go over the wall. You did not go over the wall. And she's like, I did not go over the wall. And I cried. I did cry this time. I got
Is
teary-eyed last
so.
time, but this time I truly cried.
I boo-hoo cried. I absolutely did. And it's like I
It's so good. Why
you
couldn't it
and
just be
me.
them?
I don't I it's so beautifully done. That is just beautiful. So what were your best parts?
Charlotte and George in general. The I love you scene made me cry. Under the bed scene made me cry. Rimsley and Miles dancing made me a little bit teary-eyed. George during the birth is awesome, and the costumes.
I didn't
What
write
about
down
you?
the costumes. I really should have. But I wrote down George performance, obviously mostly in the past timeline. Queen Charlotte's performance in both timelines to me, I think is really well done. I like the Dowager Princess coming around. I love Rimsley and Reynolds and all caps crying.
Crying.
I cried. What were your worst parts?
Violet and Lady Danbury. What the fuck was that? The present timeline minus that one scene. Saving the Adolphus plot line to this episode. Like, what was the point of that? Like, you could have just made him the ledger of the situation, just have him be like, I'm going to flower your garden or something. I don't know.
No.
So like that could have worked better than
Look, we've
her.
had scenes with plows and horses and oxen. There could be plowing.
Anyway, then waiting to make some of these things like the you and me thing and the hiding under the bed thing until the last minute, I think it would have been better. I still liked it a lot, but I think that had they done it earlier, again, if it was more focused on Charlotte and George, you could have established some of these things way earlier. So it kind of came full circle of like, oh, I know he's under the bed or something like that. And so it's just, it would have, I not to say it wasn't good. I just wish they kind of made it more of a repeated thing. Not too repeated, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So my thing is, I'm sorry, are you done?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my things were obviously the Violet and Lady and Brewster. I hate the passive aggressiveness of that. I hate.
It's awkward.
Well, I just hate it. And I think that this whole series, it could have been done probably shorter. Excise that whole thing. And I agree with you, like introducing those elements sooner might have been better. If you excise the whole present storyline other than that last bit, this episode alone would be an A+ to me.
Yeah,
if you take out that present day storyline, it is an excellent, beautifully written, well constructed episode.
I agree.
Unfortunately, we have this other shit in there, which hurts it.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
yeah,
what grade overall, did you give it?
It's an A. I mean, it is. I boohoo cried.
I boohoo cried too.
For some of these, I either have to laugh super, super hard, like in the Crown episode that we gave an A+, or I have to boohoo cry like a bitch, like during like some of the Downton Abbey episodes where I'm just or laugh or whatever. There's sometimes like the Matthew and Mary connection, the Charlotte and George connection. Sometimes it just gets to me in my feelings and it really just like holds on to my heart and will not let it go. And then I just start boohoo crying like a little baby. And I can't control it. It's a good thing my roommate is out of town this weekend or else I would have just been like boohoo crying and she would have been like, what the heck is wrong with you?
Right.
And I was kind of glad I was alone to watch these the last two episodes, or the last episode in particular, because I didn't know how I'd react. Because the first time I teared up a bit, but I didn't like boohoo cry. This time, oh boy.
Oh, I was crying.
It was intense. It was intense.
I was flat out crying. And it was, I loved this. And I've got to say, full props to Shonda Rhimes. The writing has been excellent.
Mine is the present timeline. You did good.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, why do you feel the need to have modern bullshit in here?
Because I think you should read the book. I think you would get quite a bit out of it. I mean, it's really, really, really similar to the show, except it doesn't have the present timeline bullshit. And I think that you would like the more concise nature of it. I'd recommend that.
It is on my list for sure. I've got to finish. I started reading that Robert Galbraith / J.K. Rowling mystery. And it's already like, oh my God, I need to spend more time with this. So I do need to get that done. And those are always quite long. So that's going to take some time, but I will definitely put this on my list of things to read for sure. I've said this before, I am going to be beyond the moon to actually do Game of Thrones.
I think the reason we put it off for so long is it's a huge commitment time-wise, not even just to like talk about it, but not just to watch it, but to talk about it.
Right.
Like it's going to be similar to like doing a Harry Potter video for like every single episode. We were considering maybe just doing a season recap, but that'd be way too much. And then it just, I don't know. It's just, it's hard, man. Like, I don't know.
And we're going to figure out a structure and we will let you know at the beginning of the first episode that we record. I do expect the first episode is just going to be the first episode of Game of Thrones itself, because that episode alone sets up so much for the whole series. But we may end up consolidating some episodes into, multiple episodes into one recorded episode. I will say this, fair warning, I love this show.
I love it too. Books. It's been a while since it's been a long time since I've rewatched it.
Me too. And I'm really, really looking forward to it. The characters, the actors, I am super excited. I am super excited to see a whole bunch of people that we got. It was like they were family for a while. So, and much like Downton Abbey, and we lived it, Harry Potter, we've lived it. And so these are things that are very personal that we're going to be sharing with this show, I think. And I think it's going to be fun to do. And we're looking forward to sharing that with you. I hope you all enjoyed. Queen Charlotte is a good, light, lovely kind of palate refresher if you're looking for something like that, a fairly short time commitment to watch. I highly recommend this show. I know there's controversy and stupid political bullshit about these shows. It's been really fun. It's fiction and it's well done. So, you know, take a breath, watch it for what it is, and enjoy it because it is really well done. Anyway, we look forward to doing Game of Thrones with you. We hope that you join us. And
cheers.